Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
Hi, Laura.
Ben.
How are you?
I'm really well. How are you?
I'm good. Good to see you.
You too. So you've had a busy day today already?
Oh my God. I had three interviews today. I never do three in a day, but I've got 102 scheduled.
Wow.
I know.
Go you.
I know. Yeah. So thank you so much for sharing your time and your wisdom and popping in from Australia. You are on the edge with me and my brains. You got your postcard. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's on display.
Yeah, well, thank you so much, Laura. Again, we are going to talk a lot about relationships and health and wellness. You know, you were telling me about your hypnotherapy and what you do with people with regards to, like, weight loss and stop smoking. And you have something called a virtual gastric band.
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
Yep.
Want to talk about that too. So brains, yep. Help me welcome our guest to the show today, Laura Steinbach. She is all the way from Australia. Look at that. And she loves all things Egyptian. I loved your postcard picture. One of my favorites.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here and share a bit about what I do. Yeah.
Well, you know, I was looking at your video that you did, I think it was yesterday or the day before, about being grateful.
Yeah.
Gratitude is latitude.
Yep.
And it will take you higher. So we're going to talk a little bit about what your teacher taught you. But first, color in the white space. Take us back a bit to your upbringing and really what turned you on to, you know, weight loss and hypnotherapy and really healing people with these modalities.
Yeah, sure. So I've been in this sort of industry for the last 17 years, and we'll call it my past life, this pre-kids. I was in banking, so very different to what I'm doing now. But I was one of those people that could go to the supermarket, be standing in the queue to pay for my groceries, and people would start telling me their problems, and I wouldn't know them from a bar of soap. It used to annoy my children immensely, because I'd think, why on earth are they telling you this, Mum? So I've always had this, must be an energetic, I don't know, I can't even explain, but people just like to tell me their problems. And so I've always wanted to help people. And so after my children were born and I wanted to go back into the workforce, I definitely didn't want to go back into banking. And I started down the counselling pathway and very quickly discovered that that only uses a very small part of the brain, which is the conscious brain, the part we're talking in now. Now, obviously, 95% of our day, we're running on unconscious programming. So I could be talking to you till I'm blue in the face, April, about any changes you want to make. But unless we go into the unconscious, you're not going to get much on a permanent scale. You might feel a little bit better having talked about it, but you're not going to get any significant change, right? Yeah. So then basically some weird things started to happen. I started to have some unusual dreams. Someone I didn't know very well gave me a book on hypnosis. I was reading the paper back in the day when you were reading papers, and a course popped
up. I know.
Yeah.
There was a thing, brains, called a newspaper once upon a time.
Yeah. I know. I'm showing my age now. But yeah, all these synchronicities started happening for me in regards to changing my pathway of what I wanted to do. And so I went down the hypnotherapy pathway. And back then, a really interesting fact is that it was illegal to practice hypnosis unless you were a medical doctor, a dentist, or a psychiatrist.
Really?
So when I started, practicing, it was actually illegal.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Wow. Well, is that well? Yeah, that must be just in Australia. You guys are very strict. Even I'm thinking about, you know, lockdown. Let me jump to that for a minute. hypnosis can kind of help people with their fear and anxiety.
Yeah.
Not just about, you know, programming suggestions on weight loss or things of that nature. What can we do to calm ourselves down from all the anxiety that we are feeling that has been brought up over COVID-19? I mean, you guys are still in and out of very strict lockdowns. Yeah. Here, it's like the people don't give a hoopy poopy. They're just going to go ahead and do what they want to do anyway. I was looking at the football game, and there wasn't an empty seat in the stands at these colleges. And I know that all those people are not vaccinated.
Yeah.
So what do we do to reduce our anxiety?
So here's the thing, and because I know you touched on the virtual gastric ban and quitting smoking and weight loss, and I do that, but my main focus and what I really specialize in is stress and anxiety. So it's good that you brought that up. So the first thing to notice is that worry, stress, and anxiety are very different states of being. So worry is when you have a thought, like a worrying thought. Stress is when hormones start to be released in your system, and we'll get the physical symptom of that thought. Now, anxiety is a combination of the two. So you'll have the thought, you'll have the physical reaction, whether it's sweaty palms, racing heart, whatever symptom you have, and that will result in anxiety. You'll get the combination of the two. But what anxiety is in a nutshell is the fear of the future. That's what it is.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know what I've always wondered too, though? How do people have anxiety and depression at the same time?
Oh, we're pretty clever like that. It's still a fear, isn't it? But the thing is that most people are addicted to their history. Mm. And so they spend their lives compensating for it. And in doing so, they perpetuate it. Because the brain doesn't know the difference between what you want and what you don't want. Right. So it focuses on what you're thinking about, and it gives you more of that because that's what it thinks you want. So your thoughts are really, really important in regards to getting the outcome that you're wanting. I mean, if I were to say to you now, as an example, I really want you to try, but I don't want you to think of a purple elephant. You can't.
I see a big old purple elephant.
Because you have to think of it to not think of it. And that's what the brain does. Wow. It doesn't hear the don't. It just hears the purple elephant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what do we do to get the purple elephant out of the room?
So we have to basically create a new story in our head. Because if the story that we are telling ourselves is based on things that have already happened, and here's the thing with reality, everything that's ever happened in our past has happened because it's supposed to have happened. That's reality. How often have you thought about an incident that when you were in it, you thought was the worst thing that could ever possibly happen, but in hindsight, you're grateful that it did happen?
Oh, yeah, many times.
Yeah. And this is the thing. When we can master acceptance of what actually is going on in our present moment and be grateful for that, because there's always a positive to everything. It's just that when we're in a state of stress, we don't see the hidden benefits that are there. Because what happens when we're in a stress state, which is really a fight and flight mode, you've got around 7 minutes before rational thinking leaves the room. Because what happens is cortisol starts, your levels of cortisol go up, intelligence goes down. Because everything is getting ready to run from that tiger. That's what it's designed for. So what that does, though, is it compromises your immune system, obviously diminishes your IQ. So what you really want to do is stop that flow
of...
It makes
you stupid, brains.
Yeah, yeah. It makes you absolutely stupid. How many times have you done stupid things when you're in a, you know, non-resolved state?
You know, you're anxious about something and you're cooking, and what do? You burn yourself.
Yeah, well, you say stupid things, things you wouldn't ordinarily say to people.
Right.
That's because you're in that state of stress. But you know what? Some stress is good. You know, and this is where I come in regards to changing our relationship with stress. Because most people, how overused is the word stress? You stress me out. I've had a stressful day. That situation is stressful. Stress.
Right.
So instantly we think it's bad. But if we think about even an exercise scenario, you have to stress the body to make some sort of change. Because otherwise, if you just walk at the same pace forever, you're not going to get anywhere.
And stress also shows elasticity and bandwidth, that you're able to go beyond your comfort zone.
Totally. Comfort is not your friend.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Comfort is not your friend.
Right.
You know,
or complacency. So tell us a little bit about gratitude and what is your thoughts around being grateful?
Well, here's the thing. 97% of people live in this place called victim. It's quite huge because they will consider that everything happens to them. So if you can change that, so everything's happening for you, you become grateful for whatever it is that's happening, good, bad, or ugly. Because there's always going to be, as I said, some hidden benefit around it. So it's either an opportunity to heal something, an opportunity to change something, an opportunity to step away from something. But when we're in a different perspective and we believe that everything's happening to us, then we can't be grateful for anything. So I've got a little bit of a gratitude ritual that I do even before my feet touch the ground in the morning. And it's very simple. And it promotes that state of gratitude that's just going to bring more abundance and things to be grateful for in my life. So basically what I do, it's very simple. I think of three things that I'm grateful for that I've already got in my life. And they don't need to be monumental things. Literally can be having a warm shower, you know. It doesn't need to be huge. Then I think of three things that I'm grateful for that happened to me the day before. And then I think of three things that I want to be grateful for by the end of the current day.
Okay.
So it's just constantly getting my mind in gratitude, 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 because everything has an element of something to be grateful for.
Right. You know, the little ritual that I do with myself is the night that before I go to sleep, I thank my God for all the wonderful blessings and to be able to live the life that I live. I also ask him to wake me up tomorrow so that I can have an opportunity to start anew, right any wrongs, or expand and grow. But also, I talk to myself with a little NLP, and I plan my day. It's going to be a marvelous day. I'm going to learn something. I'm going to pour into someone. Someone's going to make an investment in me. I already ask, and then at the end, I'll say, how can I get any better than this? And what else is possible? Because there's endless possibilities. And you know, like I know, Laura, people are thinking small. They have no idea of the opportunities that lie ahead of them if they would just allow it. And we are still playing small with our business, with our families, with our relationships, even with ourselves. We look in the mirror and we don't see the possibilities.
That's right.
You know? And if they do, sometimes they're scary. You know, I looked at my girlfriend. I tell this all the time. I hope she's not watching. She's going to kill me. She was a big fluffy girl, and she went and got this huge raven tattooed on her back. Oh, and the wingspans was gorgeous. Well, then she got a weight loss program. She lost about 75 pounds, and that raven looks like a crow.
Oh, no.
Those wings have dropped and everything, and she looks herself in the mirror, and she's so unhappy now. She thought that that weight loss was really going to be the be-all, end-all to all of her challenges. When she looked in the mirror, she didn't even recognize who that person was. She had a whole mental mind shift that she needed to go through in addition to the weight loss. Do you find that working with people that lose massive amounts of weight can go through this whole mental metamorphosis?
Absolutely, and it's integral because it's never about the weight. The weight is a symptom. It's always a symptom of something else. And, you know, you mentioned relationships. Well, what's the most important relationship to have? The one with yourself.
Absolutely.
When you can get that right, every other relationship you have is changed. But if you haven't got the one with yourself right, then you're going to struggle. That's exactly where we need to go first.
Because we're always chasing something or thinking that something else is going to make it better for me.
Yeah.
You know, like she thought, you know, losing this weight, I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to be thin and, you know, all the men are going to be, you know, looking at that pretty tattoo on my back and, you know, I'm going to be happy. And she wasn't happy. So I told her, I said, you know, now that you've lost the weight, okay, that's one thing you can, one box that you can tick off. But now you have to look at the root cause. What caused the weight, and you know, from the beginning? The excessive eating, the anxiety. What are you doing this for? What is your why? Are you doing it for the satisfaction of others so that you can get external compliments? Is there a self-esteem issue? There's so many things to unpack in all of that. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. Protection, comfort, all sorts of things are connected to weight. And you're right, it's not about the physical appearance. It's about what's going on inside that's impacted the most. Yeah.
So let's talk about this fasting, because I'm doing it, and you know, I'm going to tell you, I'm a fluffy girl too, but I'm ready for the weight loss, and my mind is already set for it, so I'm not going to have no problem when I drop my weight.
Yeah.
But the thing is the fasting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I found a few things, a few challenges that I had to overcome even before the weight loss. People don't talk about these things. Number one, the bloating. The body is full of inflammation,
yes,
especially if you are, you know, overweight. So they never talk about that. You have to give your body some time to get all of that inflammation down so that it can get to the muscles and it can get to your, you know, get your stamina up, you know, passing gas and belching and acid reflux. You got to get all that junk out of you before the body is going to say, oh, okay, I accept this weight loss challenge that you put me up against. Number two, circadian rhythm, sleeping. That was one of my challenges too. I was up all the time because I deal on a world clock. I have so many international clients. I'm up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I'm telling myself, okay, well, I'm up and, you know, Laura's up. Let's eat.
Yeah.
It's time for breakfast. And then 7, 8 o'clock, I have literally forgot that I had eaten. So those two things, and also, you know, the expectation based upon the scale. The scale is not your friend.
No, the scale is the devil. Get rid of that.
The scale is like, you know, because I've noticed, I've been on this journey since July, and in all honesty, I've lost 2 pounds. But again, I have to let my body reset because it was all off kilter.
Yeah. But how do your clothes feel?
Oh, my clothes feel good. When I look in the mirror, I feel good. Like I said, I feel that bloating is gone. And I work out with a hula hoop.
So yeah, that's fine.
So the hips and the waist are going to be fine, girl. But it's fun, and finding recreation and finding the joy. And I talk to myself. I do a lot of NLP. I'll look at my plate and I'll say, you know, is this really necessary? Can I make this plate without some carbohydrates? Let me look at it. Let me cook. I'm a great cook, but, you know, let me cook and try some alternatives. I've tried some great recipes. What are some of the things that you suggest when you're working with people that are really struggling with this from the beginning, from the onset, not in the middle, but if they're really not seeing any results, what would you say to them?
If they're not seeing results, it's very rare that my clients won't see results. And the reason is that what I do with them is not put them on a diet, because instantly you mention the word diet, it's deprivation. I can't have this and I can't have that. So I never tell my clients what they can and can't eat. You know, most of my people are intelligent. They know what's good and bad. And let's face it, I'm Italian, so I'm not going to go tell them not to have any carbs because I like my pasta too.
And a bottle of wine.
And a bottle of wine. But there's a time and a place and a method on how to eat and when to eat and how much, right? Because we're living in this society where, you know, it's land of the large and the portion sizes are just massive.
Ridiculous.
So as opposed to cutting out food groups, we look at portion size and regular eating because your brain gets confused. Now, if you're going to go on a fasting regime, then you need to stick to that for a period of time so that your brain knows, well, okay, this is what's happening and it's okay for me to release the weight. But if you chop and change and 1 week you're going to fast and then the next time you're going to do something else, the brain doesn't know what you're doing and it will just hold on to everything because it doesn't know what's going on and it's just going to make sure it's got some reserves. So I know there's a lot of good science around fasting and why it's good for you and all of those things, and it is, and it works for a lot of people. I offer that too. But the virtual gastric band is a little bit more user-friendly, I would say, only because it's eating 3 small meals. It's eating whatever you like within that time. But as women, I'd have to say, and the older we get, carbs are not really our friend after 2 o'clock in the day. So we need them And the carbs I sort of talk about, because I know there's carbs in loads of things, bread, rice, potatoes, pasta, they're the ones that I, you know, I typically refer to as the carbs to watch after 2 o'clock. So if you're going to, and I'm not saying don't have any at dinner, but I would certainly say look at what else is on your plate and have more of that and a little bit less of the carbs, or save the carb component of that meal to the next day for lunch, because that's when it's best had.
Well, you know what? And I have to have something sweet every day. That makes me happy.
You have to.
You know? You have to. Yeah. So what I try to do is at my lunchtime, I'll have a really nice lunch, and then I'll have whatever my little sweet treat is. And I also found that I drink, all right, well, I used to, I don't do anymore. I used to drink my calories. No, not alcohol brains. Which yeah. I do like a cocktail every now and there and a good beer. But I would refill on beverages. And that's any sweet beverage there is. I was making homemade lemonade. Still, there's sugar in there. There's a lot of calories that are in liquids that people don't even take into consideration. What do you think about salts and inflammation? You know, because a lot of people suffer with that too.
Absolutely. And I said, as I say, everything is moderation. Mm-hmm. We need a little bit of salt. Our body needs it. But there is salt in so many things already before we start to add it. That's when we need to be more mindful. Everything, you know, fresh is always best. So if you're going to buy pre-cooked, pre-packaged things, then obviously the salt's going to be a factor. But if you're going to buy something that's a low fat, it's going to be high in something else. I encourage my clients to have the real deal of whether it's butter or whether whatever it is, but a smaller portion of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good. Yeah. That's good. What do you say to the person that is dealing with, you know, and I know that you are, you know, not a medical doctor, but from your experience, there's a lot of diabetes. Diabetes is like running rampant. African Americans, I can't tell you on probably 10 people that I know, and I know a gazillion people that don't have it or it's pre-existing condition. Do you have any suggestions on how we can really kind of look at that, combat that? Because they're saying the stage 2 diabetes is something that can be reversed with weight loss.
Yeah. Type 2 diabetes is totally lifestyle based. Oh. So again, it's not rocket science. It's input output. And we need to reduce our calorie intake. And particularly if you're not active, then you need to look at that even more. And as we age, our metabolism slows down. And so again, it's not about what you did when you were 20, 30, 40, or 50. It's about what's going on in your body now. So I teach my clients to be in touch with their body and what's going on from at the time, because so many different things will come into play, whether it's something hormonal, whether it's they've done more exercise on this day, whether they're ill. You know what I mean? There's lots of things to factor in. When you can listen to what your body's telling you in regards to what it needs nutritionally, then it doesn't matter where you are, how old you are, or what you're doing. You've got it sorted because you're in tune with your body.
Right.
We lose that connection.
Right. But, you know, if they're not in tune emotionally, you know, they're not going to hear what their body is saying anyway. All right. Yeah. Let's ask this. What about child diabetes, and not diabetes, but obesity, childhood obesity? Like you said, the portion size are ridiculous. We went out to breakfast, me and my husband. I kid you not, it was enough for 3 meals.
Yeah.
It was enough for 3 meals. And of course, they probably want to give you, you know, your money's worth because you're now paying a COVID tax. Do you guys have that?
No.
And I'll look on your bill. You'll see. They are charging us a surcharge, a COVID tax.
A COVID tax.
A COVID tax on your restaurant bill. In addition to your tip, in addition to your regular taxes, there's an additional surcharge. So, you know, they're capitalizing on everything. But what do you say to the parent that has a child that is, number one, they're stressed out because they're being homeschooled by their mother that doesn't know anything about it, that doesn't have any patience, that they are maybe in school, they're being bullied, you know, and food is their place of comfort. What do you say to parents or to children that are in that space that really need to address weight issues?
Okay. When we're looking at children, I've always got to look at the environment. So when I do see children, I have to look at the whole environment and work with the family, because if I'm just working with the child and then they go back to the same environment, then it's going to be very difficult for a child. When we're born with two fears, a fear of falling and a fear of loud noises. Everything else is learned or observed. So a child, if you can remember with your own, you've got a daughter, haven't you?
Yes.
So with your own daughter, when they're babies, they'll eat till they've had enough and they'll stop. So that's an inbuilt system that's always there. It's just that what's observed after that is to continue to eat for the wrong reasons. So it's about going back to basics, really. And again, even with a child, I would go into teaching them the difference between comfortable, satisfied, or full. Everyone wants to be full because they're trying to fill something that's missing internally with something external.
Right, that makes sense. Yeah, they always.
Yeah, we don't want to be full. Why do we need to be full? We need to be comfortable and satisfied.
I know, you know, and I was eating yesterday with Mr. Magnificent, you know, and I really kind of changed everything. I've slowed down eating. I am in a meditation. I am becoming one with my food. You know, I don't have to keep shoving it in my mouth because I've got food in there. Enjoy every flavor, bitter, sweet, salt, whatever it is. Lay it on your palate and chew. And chew the food. What do they say? You eat your beverage and you drink your food. You have to chew it so that the body is able to digest it. Because just shoveling in, there's no need to do all of that.
No.
So that is a disservice. But I was sitting there and I was talking to him and I said, you know what? I said, I'm going to start, you know, really slowing down and enjoying this process because now we're dining and we have to look at our food and say, you know what? I am eating to live. I'm not living to eat.
Exactly. No. Yep. And that's true because if you eat too fast, you're not actually giving your body enough time to send the signal that you've had enough or your brain to send the signal. So again, when I'm working with my weight loss clients, it is about when you're eating, cut the food in the mouth, knife and fork down, chew, swallow, pick up, start again. Or if it's a handheld sandwich or something, take a bite, put it down, chew, swallow, pick up, next bite. And the other thing is conscious eating. A lot of people will eat while they're doing something else, whether it's scrolling on the phone, whether it's sitting in front of the television, all those sort of scenarios, right? And when you do that, you eat faster than you think you are, and then you have no idea when enough is enough.
Exactly. Well, I had one of my guests that said, are you eating for entertainment? I thought that was so cute because I thought about it. Sometimes I am eating for entertainment. I don't have anything to do, so I'll go get something to eat. And that's really not the best thing to do. But nope. I create an atmosphere for my eating as well. I get up from this desk. I go, like I said, we sat at the table. You know, I even set the table for us. I love to do that. We sat there. We had a nice lunch, you know, or dinner. We sit there. We have conversation. You know, it is an act of engagement. So if we get that under control and learn to really enjoy it, it will fortify our minds, our spirits, and our bodies. Tell us a little bit about your program that you offer.
For weight loss?
Weight loss and hypnotherapy. What are you
doing?
You
know what? People will come to me with a symptom or a variety of symptoms. So what I offer now, as opposed to a number of sessions or a package or a program, is I offer a result. And whatever that is for that client, I offer the transformation. Because here's the thing, if I tell a client, okay, well, you're gonna need 4 sessions or 6 sessions or 8 sessions, and we get the job done in 2, then they're gonna feel a bit ripped off because we've already got there. It's a bit like, imagine you're building a house. You're building a 2-story house. The builder comes to you and says, you know what, I'm gonna give you the 3rd story for free. Now, you might not have any furniture to put on the 3rd story, or you might not need a 3rd story, but you know what, it's free, I'm gonna take it. Fair?
Fair.
Now, I know that my clients want results as quickly as possible. And it's my job to do that, whether that's 1 session, 3, 5, or 8. But I don't know until I start working with a client. Because as I said, clients are going to come to me with a symptom or a series of symptoms which are actually not the problem. Mm-hmm. So we might get to that core problem in 1 session, and I do a lot of the time. And they're done. Wow. So would you rather solve the problem quickly or over an extended number of sessions?
When you are working with clients and you use hypnotherapy on them for weight loss, is that something, it's a subliminal message, and it's, you know, NLP, and it's going into the subconscious mind. Is that something that lasts a long time, or is it something that needs to be boosted like the vaccine? Do you need to go back and get it, you know, pumped up?
Let's not talk about vaccines. Okay. We fix the problem, the core problem of what they come to in those sessions. Now, my clients love hypnosis because it's a beautiful state of being. So if they want to come in and get, let's call it like a massage top up, not a problem. I'm good for that.
All right. That's good. All right. So I'm going to ask you a couple random questions. I love to do this with my guests just to kind of get in your head and see some intimate things about you. I'm going to ask you, what is your greatest fear?
My greatest fear? Oh, there's a random one, because fear is such an interesting thing. My greatest fear? I think not getting it all done.
And all means?
Everything that I had contracted to before I came in, done.
So contracted in the universe and the world and the spirit.
My soul contract.
Your soul contract.
My soul contract, yeah.
What makes you cry happy tears?
Oh, my children. They're the joy of my life. Yeah.
What are three things that you absolutely cannot live without?
My children. Sun, the sunshine, as in, and probably the gym, you know, it's my sanity.
Mm. What's your favorite workout at the gym?
Spin.
Oh, you like to spin? Yeah.
Yeah, love it. It's very addictive.
It is.
Yeah.
What would you tell a 25-year-old Laura Steinbach?
Well, that would be my daughter. I would tell her to live every day in gratitude and in doing at least one thing that makes you happy every day.
Well, that's a lot to do to make happy. When you go to the great beyond and people look over you and say, Laura was a great ... Fill in those dots for me. What do you want to be remembered as, memorialized as?
A great listener. Problem solver, human being.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if you had three wishes, what would they be?
More time. More summer and more freedom.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. You are a beautiful soul. And thank you so much for being here with me on The Edge. Brains, did you hear what she said?
Thank you for having me. It's been awesome.
Yeah, Brains. Now, she is a woman that loves all things Egyptian. She loves her family. She loves the sunshine. And she's here to help us. You know, she's dedicating her life. She could have done anything. She could lay out on that beautiful, because I saw it, honey. You got a beautiful deck out there with that view of the ocean and all that. I mean, she is living PHAT. That's fat. That's Ebonics for living large. For those of you that don't speak Ebonics. But she's a wonderful soul. And she is really dedicated to helping us be and live the best life that we can. We don't want to live in a deficit. We don't want to live in a diet. We want to live it. We want a good experience. And this lady right here is going to be instrumental. She's a point and a click away, anywhere in the world. You don't have to be right there sitting next to her in Australia, even though I wish I was, to get what she has to offer. Please tell my brains how to get in contact with you, Laura. If they want to work with you, you know, sign up for your course. Definitely follow her on social media. What would be the best way to contact you?
So you can contact me on Facebook, just Laura Steinbach, you'll find me. Otherwise, my email is hypno3@bigpond.com, H-Y-P-N-O, 3@bigpond.com. It's all over the world, so absolutely. Reach out to me, social media, messenger, email, whatever way, I'll be there.
Right, and leave some comments, you know, on the end of the week. Our feelings aren't going to be hurt. Because what we want you to do is we want you to give us the information that you need. Sometimes we put out information and we think that's what you need, but that's not actually what you need. The only way that we're able to help you and be the most effective is if you leave comments and like, share, love, and subscribe. So thank you again, Laura, for being here on The Edge with Me and My Brains. Please come back. Keep us informed. And I'm going to be watching you. I'm going to be taking in some tips and some trips. So that I'm looking good and that I don't go from here to here.
Absolutely not.
Thank you so much, Precious.
Thank you.
Have a great
You do. Bye.